Isn't it wonderful to hear the organ and the piano both this morning? Yes. Praise the Lord. And you all sounded so good. Choir, you sound, Diane, wonderful job leading this morning. It's just a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, last week we talked a little bit about liberty. And we're going to follow through this week. And there is a struggle. Even though that we have Christian liberty, we still struggle with flesh. And this morning we're going to look at this battle. Once we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we no longer live in the flesh, but we live in the Spirit. And so we're going to take a look at that in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Title for this morning is Flesh or Fruit? Flesh or Fruit? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And Father, as we come to you this morning, Holy Spirit, move on our hearts this morning. Father, help us to lean into your Spirit and listen intently. May God, those that are here, even those that are watching this morning, that do not know you as personal Savior and Lord, that do not have the Holy Spirit of God living in them to help them to overcome this flesh and the sin, I pray today that they would gain victory in you, dear Jesus. That your love and your mercy and grace will draw them to salvation this morning to make that confession as you being their Lord. Father, as Christians, I pray, God, that we're no longer entangled by the sins of this world, that we're no longer a part of the old nature. God, today, we'll listen and obey, and abide in you, following you, that we can be a great witness for you and a testimony to you for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Which is dominant, would you say, mostly in your life today? Flesh or fruit? Which way do we focus? We focus on the flesh, or do we focus on producing fruit? You know, last week we talked about liberty not being a license to sin. It's no longer being a part of the old nature that we used to be. We've been freed from that. That we don't need all that stuff. We have Jesus Christ, and in Christ we have everything. Amen? And so that liberty is the freedom that we have. We no longer live to that old nature. It's kind of like the husband and wife. Jeff and Betty had been married for several years. She was always trying to please Jeff because he was so demanding. She didn't want to upset him. After all those years of rules and regulations, she didn't make decisions for herself. He always made the decisions for her. He always told her what to do, and he always told her what was wrong, why she did that. And he was always that dominant in her life. And years and years and years of all that, she was so dependent upon him dictating to her how to live and what to do, how to move. And she was so enamored with that type of life that she felt like that's just the way life is supposed to be. But she was really held in bondage for all those years because of his dominance, because of his demanding and dictatorship to her. Suddenly he became fatal with an illness, and he died. After Jeff died, Betty decided that she was going to go to Europe and spend some time with her sister. While she was over there, she met Bill. She met Bill there in Europe, and she had several weeks getting to know Bill. But Bill was different than Jeff. He wasn't demanding. He seemed as though he had compassion and mercy and sort of that agape type of love that he loved without expecting anything. And she experienced that with Bill that she had never experienced before. She fell in love once again. This compassionate, caring, unconditional man. She married while she was there in Europe. So Bill and Betty began a new life. And as they were husband and wife, she found herself doing some of the same very things that she did with her former husband that passed away. All those habits and years of demands, and she was now doing them now for her new husband, Bill. But this time, it wasn't because of his demands. It was because she loved him. And she wanted to do these things for him. Not that she had to do those things, but she wanted to do those things because she now loved him and he gave that love back to her. And that relationship built. Once they decided that they were going to come back to the States, Bill and Betty came back to the States. And with their luggage and everything, as husband and wife, they go to her house where she once lived. And they came in the front door. And there in the recliner sat Jeff, her former husband. You see, what I didn't tell you was, before she left to go to Europe, she had Jeff embalmed. And she had him put in a recliner at the house because she didn't know what to do. And she'd always listened to him, so she didn't know what to do without him. So she had him sitting in the recliner. So there Bill came in with Betty, and there sat Jeff in the recliner. She had been so used to Jeff that she didn't know how to cut loose. When Bill saw him, yeah, you're right, he was in utter shock. Bill explained to her, quite frankly, "You need to decide what to do right now." Betty explained to Bill, "I love you, but you must understand, I lived with Jeff so long under his demands and dictatorship that I have got to keep him nearby. What do you think Bill ought to do?" Next flight out. But isn't that like Christians that's been set free from the bondage of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ? Why do we want to keep that old nature so nearby? Why does it have so much demands on us? David Gusick said, "Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. The great fear of the legalist is that liberty will be used as an opportunity for the flesh. The idea is that people will just go out and sin as they please, then turn to a spineless God and say, 'I'm sorry, please forgive me,' and then go on doing whatever they want to do." You see, Paul recognized the danger of this attitude, and he warned you and I of this danger. Look, if you would, at Galatians 3:27. Just a few pages back. Let's go up to 26. "For ye are of children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You're no longer the same. The living Christ is within you. Everyone who has confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you have Christ living in you. That Holy Spirit is there in you to help you to overcome the flesh. This flesh is going to decay. I don't know if you want to look at your hands, but these hands, they're going to get older and wrinkler. Some of them might even adapt to that Uncle Arthur that comes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? arthritis starts in and your stands start aching and you don't grip as good as you used to. This flesh is going to decay. The soul and the spirit is going to live eternally somewhere. Choose. Choose where you live. You, as a follower of Christ, should be now influenced and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you. And the life that you live now, because of your love for God and His love for you, you're to walk in the Spirit of God that produces fruit for His glory, not yours. The Holy Spirit does not move in us, challenge us to gratify our old fallen natures and passions. The Holy Spirit does teach us about Jesus and guide us in the path of Christ. This is the key to righteous living, folks. Walking in the Spirit, not living under the dominance of the law or the old sinful nature. The law, see, reveals to every one of us that we don't measure up to the standards. Right? I don't want to see a hand, but how many of y'all have ever broken one of the Ten Commandments? This past week. Yesterday. Maybe on the way to church this morning. I thought it was unique that the children in Art for a Purpose, they studied the same lesson that we studied out here in Bible study this week, and that's where Jesus was down in the ship, and he had his head on a pillow resting, and the storms came. And they went down to get Jesus. It was just, God just lines up everything just to show us that he is God. It's amazing to see how he loves us so much. And he knows that we're not going to measure up to the standards. It's an ongoing battle. One of the things that the kids, I think, discovered in their lesson this past week is that when they went down to wake Jesus up, he wasn't grouchy when he woke up. I said, y'all know anybody? And boy, they started pointing at each other. It's like, yeah, I know. No names. That wakes up grouchy. All of us fight this ongoing battle of the flesh. The flesh and the spirits are real battles. And it's not about trying harder and trying harder. That's what Paul is trying to explain to us. It's about relying on the power of the Holy Spirit of God that we have in us. It's not about trying harder and pulling up from your bootstraps. It's not about that. If the Holy Spirit's not in you, guess what? You're powerless to overcome the flesh. That's why you need the Holy Spirit of God living in you. Because if the Holy Spirit's not in you, you're just trying harder and keep messing up, and you're not going to meet up to those standards. But once you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because of what he did on the cross for you and shed his life and blood for you, and he arose from the grave victorious, you have the Spirit of God living in you that you can overcome the flesh. That you can live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. The law just exposes that we cannot conquer this flesh. Hard as you may try, you're going to lose the battle. Folks, that is exactly why God knew that we needed a Savior. Amen? We are in need of a Savior. We can't do it on ourselves. He never said we could. The battle rages in lives today. If you would, look at Galatians chapter 5, looking at verses 16 through 21. We're looking at the works of the flesh. Looking at those works of the flesh. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilers, and such like. The reason it's such like is saying that it's not exhaustive. It doesn't stop there. of which I tell you before. In other words, he's told us before, as I have also told you in times past, that that which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These fleshly works will not inherit the kingdom of God. The contrast between the works of the flesh and the spirit are so very important for us to examine in our lives today. This contrast of flesh and the spirit are so vital for us. The list of the works of the flesh, as Paul wrote, is not exhaustive. There's more. And these are the sins that the Holy Spirit of God, living in you, will help you to overcome if you will surrender. And say, God, I can't. But you can. You never said I could. You always said you would. And by faith, I need to let you. We're going to look at 7 of the 17 works of the flesh. I'm going to be looking at 7 this morning. Adultery is violating the marriage covenant by sexual immorality. The Holy Spirit will never ever lead anyone into adultery. Hello. Fornication is an ancient Greek word for porneia, where we get the word pornography. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you into fornication. Uncleanliness is another broad word referring to sexual impurity in general. It should be thought of as the opposite of purity. If it isn't pure from before God, it is then uncleanliness. It covers a multitude of sexual sins and suggestive speakings and double meanings. The Holy Spirit will never lead anyone into uncleanliness. Lewdness is the idea you're ready to sin at any time. You're just given the opportunity that it flaunts itself about immorality. It brags about it, throwing off any kind of restraint with no sense of dignity. It just is ready to sin without any kind of embarrassment. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead anyone into lewdness. Adultery is the worship of any god except the Lord God revealed to us by the Bible in the person of Christ. The Holy Spirit will never lead anyone into adultery. Sorcery. In the service and worship of occult spiritual powers apart from the true God, it is also another dimension revealed in the word of sorcery. Paul describes it in the Greek term pharmakia. Pharmakia is a word where we get our word pharmacy. Okay? You may not know this, but sorcery, that Greek word also has a meaning of the pharmacy. William Barclay wrote this about that. This literally means the use of drugs. It came to be very specifically connected with those use of drugs for sorcery, of which ancient world was full of. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead anyone to sorcery, to get a high on drugs. Hatred, it's an attitude of the heart. Somehow expresses itself in actions such as contentions, outbursts, wrath, works of the flesh. But hatred is an inward motivation for an ill treatment of others as well. Just as love is an inner motivation, kind of love for good treatment to others, the Holy Spirit of God will never ever lead anyone to hatred. That's just 7 of the 17. And even at that, the 17 is not exhaustive. What's at stake here about the works of the flesh? What's at stake? The kingdom of God. Did you see that in verse 21, the latter part? I've told you in the past, that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul tells us, those who practice such things will not go to heaven. Is it eternal punishment or is it eternal paradise? Your destiny. The Holy Spirit of God living inside of you will help you to overcome the works of the flesh. Holy Spirit of God is speaking this morning. Are you listening? Holy Spirit of God enables you to produce fruit, not flesh. Holy Spirit of God living in you will equip you and empower you to produce fruit. Are you relying on the Holy Spirit of God? I pray you are. Spending time with God in His Word, spending time in God in prayer and worship and fellowship with believers strengthens your walk in the Spirit. Warren Wiersbe said this, "The life that you are searching for and seeking is that God the Father planned for you, God the Son purchased for you on the cross, and God the Holy Spirit personalizes it for you and applies it to your daily life as you surrender to Him." That's pretty powerful. I want to share that with you again just to get it. I've had to read it time and time this past week. The life that you're searching for and seeking is the life that God the Father planned for you, God the Son purchased on the cross for you, and God the Holy Spirit personalizes it for you and applies it to your daily life as you surrender to Christ. Look at the verse 22. Fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first one. Because love is the first, everything else out of that is the fruit, that outgrowth of love. That outgrowth, that agape love. And see, love and joy produces peace. Love and joy produces peace. Notice that the first three, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Notice that those first three is talking about your relationship with God. Those first three. How is your relationship with God? Do you have peace with God? Is everything good here between you and Him? Is there sin that needs to be confessed this morning? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Is today the day the Holy Spirit's drawing you to salvation? To admit and to believe and confess? Is this the day? Love is the first. But love and joy and peace is the relationship with God. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Those next three is how we relate to each other. You see that? Because once we get this right, then this comes. The long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Those focus on a relationship with others. Then the last three, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those focuses on your own personal characteristics. Those focus on your characteristics. Do you have faith in God? Do you trust Him with your whole heart? Are you meek? Are you humble? Temperance? Are you quick to anger? Or are you temperance that you rely on God and the Holy Spirit? See, it's all about loving God because He does love you. It's all about loving each other just as He loves us. And our characteristics of the fruit of that is not out of the flesh. It's out of the Spirit, that we know who we are. We have peace with God. We know that He loves us. We know that we have a personal relationship with Him. We know that one day we're going to spend eternity with Him and see Him face to face. And because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us and shed His blood and won the victory over death, we know that we can stand before a holy and just God. We have that. Love, we have that joy, and we have that peace. Then we have this relationship with one another. This is our character. This is our character. We don't bear fruit for bragging rights. We don't bear fruit for our own consumption. We bear fruit that others can see our personal lives with Christ and bring glory and honor to Him and to Him alone, because He deserves it. Amen? It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about Christ and what He did for me. And all praise and all glory is given to Him. You see, there's so many counterfeits in our world today. They're playing religion and playing this legalistic game that you've got to do all these things, and they're trying to push these things. There are many counterfeits that say they're of Christ, but they're not. Because flesh cannot produce fruit. Are you working out of the flesh, or are you working out of the Spirit to produce fruit? We're going to give an invitation here in a moment. And if the Holy Spirit's calling you about something with you personally today, you're going to have that decision. Is the light of Christ in you? I brought an illustration this morning, and it's like this. I can take, well, it's gone. The power strip. This back here. Woo! I put things up and people come behind me and clean up. They're like, I don't know what's going on. They do that. So, this is a light, okay? This is a light. And there's another light. You reckon the bulbs are bad? Oh! You all are so intelligent, and you're so right. When you try harder and you try harder and you try harder in the world, and you've not plugged into the source, there's no power. So if the Holy Spirit of God is not living in you, there's no power. You right? I hope this works. Whew. Do you see? When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, the Holy Spirit of God is there in you to empower you to be the light of the world. That you can overcome the flesh. Be the light. What's Christ and the Holy Spirit asking you to do today? Will you forsake everything and trust Him? Will you admit where you are, that you've missed the mark, that you've sinned, and you need to confess and ask forgiveness of your sins? Will you believe in what Christ did for you on the cross? Will you make that known public? Today is your day. The Holy Spirit's calling you to take action. Father in heaven, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives today as evidence of who you are and what you desire. God, your love for us is immeasurable. Some today, Lord, have been entangled with some things that's held them back from being the light that you've called them to be, and they've allowed the flesh to take over rather than the Spirit. And today, God, is a day that they need to come and confess and take action on that. To confess it. And Lord, you said when we confess it and admit it, that you're faithful and just to forgive us. So it's available. Father, today, some are here and they don't know you as personal Savior. And Holy Spirit, you're drawing them right now to that salvation. I pray that they feel the love and not the resistance. of fear, wondering what other people might think, but God, that they just feel the release of your Holy Spirit, the power to draw them to make that decision today. That love and excitement that comes from knowing you. Some today, Lord, are here, they have heavy hearts. They have family and close friends that are far from you, and they just need to come pray. Some of them have illness, and they just need to come to you and rely upon you. Holy Spirit, just move in this place. Start right now, Lord, in our hearts. For it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, for this invitation? As they play, will you respond to God, what He's calling you to do today? Would you come? Altar's open. I'll be here if you have a decision you need to make. Pray with you for anything that you have. Now's the time. Will you move? Without Him, how lost I would be. Praise God for the free salvation that He offers you and I. He demonstrated His love toward each of us. While we were all yet sinners, Christ died for us. Share that love with somebody else today. Share that love with somebody around you this week. Let the fruit of love and joy and peace be offered up to God in His relationship with you and yours with Him. May God richly bless. If I can pray with you about anything, please let me know. And you may be seated. There is some artwork here. I'm not sure if it's up for donations or not. I don't know that. But some of our artwork that the kids are going to produce is going to be up for donation, that you can make a donation and you can take one of these art pieces home. So just to let you know that today at 2 o'clock, there's a tea party going on over at the Fellowship Center. And I believe the girls and ladies are excited about that. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. So you pray for that. And if you're here, ladies or young ladies, and you've not signed up, please let them know. What else? Don't want to forget all the, the back corner back there is devotionals, 40 days of praying with Jesus. We still have some more of those, and you can come and be a part of that. Someone asked this past week, do I have to come on Wednesday nights? I'm working, or I'm working with the kids on Wednesday night. Can I still get one of those? Absolutely. It's a personal thing. If you walking with Jesus and praying with Jesus daily, and so pick up one of those. We're just discussing it on Wednesday nights. So pick up one of those if you would. And I think Tom is ready for our business meeting. So the rest of the things are in your bulletin if I've missed something. All right. God bless.